You know, I love that scripture because Paul is just giving us his testimony, right? He stands in front of you, and it's that whole, you saw the video of Celebrate Recovery last week. Thank you, Ray, for pointing that out. I love that song and for your honesty in that moment to say, look, we all struggle and we all fail. And what you saw last week in our video was people in our own church sitting in our pews surrounding us who stood in front of you and said, I have weaknesses. And I love that because we're just admitting what God says is true, right? Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Like, we're all sinners, we all have weaknesses, but Paul stands in front of you and his testimony as he says, I was the worst of the worst. There was no one who had more struggle than me. Now, is that true? I don't know. Paul's testimony is pretty bad. But I'm going to say no. But I think Paul is dealing with the human emotion that we all deal with when we face our sin. In the midst of your struggle and in the midst of your sin, when you look at yourself, you say, I am disgusting, right? Paul looks at himself in another part and he says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Right? In other words, it's like he wakes up and he's looking in the mirror and he doesn't like who he sees looking back. Right? He measures himself according to God's standard and he says, I am worthless. Right? And we all do that, but what I love is that he says through faith, he's been changed into a different man, and now he considers everything that he once considered great and good and worth pursuing, it's all, he says, rubbish. And by the way, I love the Greek word that's used there. In the Greek, when they used this in the original language, there were pictures that would come with words. And that picture that of the rubbish isn't just the trash in the trash can. It's the picture of the junk in the good. You ever taken out the trash and you get dripped on from the bottom of the bag? Right? That's the picture of the word that's used there. It's the dirt, the most dirty of the dirty. It's the goop at the bottom of the bag. It's disgusting. He says, everything that our world considers valuable, he says, I consider it the trash of the trash compared to the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I love it. It's a wonderful testimony. And I'll tell you what it shows. Like Ray talked about just a second ago, it shows Paul's focus, doesn't it? It shows his perspective. It shows what he finds important and what he finds valuable. I want to start off by telling one of my really bad preacher stories, so hang with me. There were two brothers who were known by everyone for being involved heavily in crime. And so one of the brothers died, and the other brother came to the funeral and told the preacher, Preacher, I will give you $1,000 if you call my brother a saint during the eulogy. And the preacher thought about it for a while, and he decided that he would do it. And he said, here lies a man who is ruthless and cruel. He was a playboy and a terrible husband and father, and he was as mean as a snake. But compared to his brother, he's a saint. I want us to do something different for a second, so stay with me. Let's shift gears. I want us to start by taking a trip together, me and you. And so tap into your, what is it, the right brain that's the creative side? Is that true? Is it the right brain, left brain? I don't know, whichever one's the creative one, do that one, all right? Because in all seriousness, I want us to go to a funeral together. But not just any funeral, I want you to go to your funeral. In fact, not only do you get to listen to part of it, no, I want you to sit in on the entire service of your own funeral. And I know it's probably not something you would prefer to think about right now, but I want you to hang with me because there is a purpose in this that I think you'll appreciate. But as you slip in the back door, you can take your seat wherever you want out in the audience. And of course, there at the front, you're going to see your own casket covered in flowers. There will be some flowers up in front. And the church is full of people who came to say goodbye to you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment and imagine who is there at your funeral. Four people specifically are going to be asked to share something about you with those who have attended. The first, I want to be a member of your family. Who's the family member that speaks about you at your funeral? The next is one of your friends. Who would it be? The third is someone that you work with. Who is someone in your past that you've worked with or are currently working with? Who would it be that could speak about you? And last, number four, is someone from this church. Who would it be? And they're all going to say a few things about you, but here's the catch that makes this funeral different than any other funeral. Every single thing they say is going to be completely transparent about who you were. There's not just the highlights of what you want them to say, but they're going to be completely honest. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, and your fellow church members. And in their honesty, what do you think they're going to say? It's kind of heavy, isn't it? Not only what do you think they were going to say, but what would you like for them to say? Let's change that for a second. Not just, okay, here's what they would say if they were completely honest, hold nothing back, but what would you like for those people to say? What kind of person do you want them to say that you were? What kind of father or mother or friend or coworker or church member or Christian would you like for them to say? What would you like for them to say about your character? About your attitude? About the things that you say at the office, in your home, in the foyer? Which achievements would you like for them to mention about you? And as you take a moment in your funeral and you look around and you see all these people who have gathered for you, think about what difference have you made in their lives. Are these people here because of some way that you changed them, or maybe is it that they were close to a family member of yours who might have made a difference? Why are they there? What phrases would you like to hear? You know, would you like for them to say, he was a hard worker. She always had a smile. You could depend on him for anything. He never let me down. She was generous. He was caring. She was faithful to the Lord until the end. What do you think you would hear? Now, believe it or not, here's what I think. Thinking like this, morbid maybe, but at the same time, there's a lot of benefit in thinking this way every now and then in your life. To stop and to reflect on the deep questions about who am I, where am I going, and am I doing a good job in taking steps to get there? You see, this kind of thinking helps put into perspective what is most important to you. And I think that's a healthy activity for you to do every now and then, and for me as well. It can also help you to plan your future so that you don't find yourself someday looking back on your life with nothing but regret over the things that you did, or probably also the things you didn't do that you wish you had, or things you didn't say that you wish you had. So, My sermon title is this: Living a Life with Few Regrets. Right? I changed it. At first I was thinking it's living a life with no regrets. But then I thought about it and I thought, you know what? Scripture tells us that you're going to have regrets. Sin is in your past. You are who you, we're going to make mistakes. But how can we live a life with fewer regrets? And so that's what I want us to talk about. Because I think we can live a life with few regrets. A life that is, in other words, full and pleasing to God. In other words, a life of significance, a life that makes a difference, a life that impacts others in a positive way. We can do that. In fact, as Christians, we're called to do that. And so here's the thing I want you to understand is that there are two mistakes to avoid when planning your life. Number one is this. This one is the one I struggle with most. You tell me about yourself. One is that often we spend our life way too focused on the future, so much so that we miss out on the significance of today. I am a huge, huge struggler in this area. I get to looking at my future and thinking, oh, a year from now, when this happens, when I get to this level, when I hit this milestone, right? Well, I'll be really personal with you. Avery and I are paying off student loan debt, right? I can't tell you how many times I've said, well, we can do that, or we can experience this, or have, a year from now, when we're out of student loan debt. And how many moments have I missed for the excuse of focusing too far on the future? Can I still be wise and still have great memories and do things of significance today? Yes, but I miss it. Because I'm so focused on the future that I miss the significance of the now. But the other side may be more like you, that you spend your life only living for today with total disregard to the future. And the Bible warns against both sides of that coin. But I think, however, there is a happy medium. There is a balance between the two. And this is it. For us to live a life with few regrets, we need to live today like it matters for all eternity. Because it does. Each day of our lives has eternal significance. In fact, what you do today can be significant for thousands of years to come. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. And that's what I want us to do for this morning. I want us to give thought to our ways, to the way that we're living our life today, and the way that we can change to live differently today. Maybe you wasted yesterday. Actually, let me rephrase. Some of you wasted yesterday. And some of you are sitting in here or watching online and you're thinking, I've wasted most of my yesterdays. But I've got good news. That's Paul's testimony in the scripture that we read. He said, I was wasting my yesterdays. All of them. And he says, I was the worst of the worst. But what mattered is that he chose to live today as if it mattered for all eternity. And his life completely switched. One day, taking a journey on a road to Damascus. And the same thing can happen to you this morning as you took your trip on the road to Leander Church of Christ. From wherever you came from. Today can be the day that you switch the way that you live and start to live and plan a life of few regrets. So I've got three ways quickly I want to share with you this morning of how we can make that happen. I mean, most of us will sit there and say, yep, I want that. I want to live a more significant life. I want to invest in more people. But the question is how? Three things. Number one is this. Decide what kind of person you want to be. Be intentional about that. Don't just wake up and go through a routine and go to bed at night, never stopping to think about who do I want to become. Make a decision on that. And it's going to take some honesty in you. If you're struggling, if you think, you know what, I'm actually pretty proud of who I am, you really need to think about it. You're missing it. And Scripture tells us so. He says, if you're acting like you just are living great and wonderful and have nothing to work on, you're lying and the truth is not in you and you're deceiving yourself. I mean, John makes it pretty clear. There's a lot for you and I to work on. So decide who you want to be. Look and see in your creative mind and picture you living life differently than you are today. And next is this: do something about it to make it come true. Towards the end of the 19th century, there was a Swedish chemist named Alfred Nobel, and he woke up one morning and he got to read his own obituary in the newspaper. And here's the gist of what it said. I've got it in quotes as if it was completely accurate, but I don't think that's true. But this is the gist of what it said. Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before, and he died a very rich man. And so he reads his own obituary, and this is what it says. Actually, the reporter had gotten it wrong. It was his brother who had passed away, and the reporter wrote this whole article on a man who was living. But the mistaken account of his own death had a profound effect on Nobel, and he decided to make himself known for something other than getting wealthy from inventing a new method of killing more people. And so he initiated what? The Nobel Peace Prize. The award for scientists and writers who foster peace in the world. And Nobel later said, every man ought to have the chance to read his own obituary and correct it midstream and write a new one. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And here's what I believe. Few things will change us as much as stopping and taking a moment to look yourself over. In Philippians, Paul talks about this. And you wonder how Paul became the guy he was, because he took this lesson seriously. And in Philippians, he says that he used a scope. He calls it, he had depth of insight. I love that in Philippians. Depth of insight. In other words, it's like you go to the doctor and you look fine. Well, no, my stomach is hurting. Well, just raise up your shirt. Let me look at your stomach. What? No. They've got to put a scope in to see what's really going on inside. Because outside, it may look okay. But when you stop and you take a deeper look, you'll see things that you need to correct, things that need to be fixed. And Paul says that's how he became who he was, is because he, through Christ, had depth of insight. And we should too. You want to make a significant difference in the life of the people around you, you're going to have to do this. And you're going to have to find some flaws and say, God, continue to mold me and to make me. You know that old song, mold me and make me after thy will. Mold me, make me, shape me, change me. So what's most important to you? As we read in the writings of Paul, it's obvious that he placed a great deal of importance on faithfulness. He looked at himself and said, who do I want to be? And he landed on faith. He said, I want to be more faithful. In earlier in his ministry, Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, I consider my life worth nothing to me, only that I may finish the race and the task the Lord Jesus has given to us. And so if Paul was standing here and he was doing our activity, he would say, I would want those friends, family members, co-workers, church members to say, Paul was faithful until the end. And what I love is that as he completed his goal, near the end of his ministry, he wrote, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have what? I've kept the faith. Paul did it, and his secret to success was stopping and measuring who he wanted to be, and he lived his life like every day mattered for all eternity, and it did. So, do you want to live a life of significance? Yes or no? If yes, then do something of significance today. If you want to be more generous, give today. Do you want to be known as a kind person? Be kind to someone today. Do you struggle with anger? Then be patient today. Do you struggle with self-worth? Then give back to someone else today and find value in yourself through your service. Whatever you want to be, do something about it today. So, number one, decide the kind of person you want to be and do something today to make it true. Secondly, how can we have a life of few regrets? Focus on what you want to give rather than what you want to receive. Shift your perspective. You know, I've talked to you about it before. Our country, not just our country and nation as a whole, but just everyone around us, including in church as well, we struggle with the eye disease, don't we? Remember my talk on my teacher in fifth grade, and I wrote a paper and she handed it back and said, "Good paper, but you caught the eye disease." And I remember it was in bold green ink on my paper, the eye disease, and she circled it and she said, "Go back and fix it. And on my paper, she circled every sentence began with the word "I." And I wrote all about myself. And she was trying to teach me something bigger than just an English paper assignment. She was trying to teach humility. That it's not all about you. And I think we all need that a little bit more, every single one of us. And so focus on what you want to give rather than what you want to receive. Philippians 2 verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Psalms says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Proverbs, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desires. He breaks out against all sound judgment. And I love how John the Baptist talks about humility. In John 3 and verse 30, he says, he must increase. Talking about Jesus. He must increase. I must decrease. I love it. And so if you want to make and live a life with few regrets, that's a great way to start. Have you ever heard of those goal setting seminars? I'm just curious. You ever heard of something like that? They were definitely a bigger thing years ago, but there was these goal-setting seminars, and the concept I like. It's hey, we're going to set some goals, and you're going to become the person you want to be, and how can we set goals? And I mean, that's good. They're kind of doing what we're saying, but the thing is they would always urge people to state it in the positive like you already received it, such as, I earned $100,000 this year. I own a new Mercedes. I live in a 5,000 square foot home. I'm going to be the most successful person alive. Whatever you want, the first step is to state it in the positive as if you already have it. And the main kind of problem with that goal setting, aside from the fact that it's kind of silly, is that the entire focus is on what you get. Notice that? I don't have a problem with stating it positively like it's going to happen, but I have a problem when it's all about me and what I'm going to get, because the best way to be successful, the best way to live your life for Christ, the best way to live a life with few regrets is not to focus on what I get, but what I can give. So instead of trying to set a goal for how much money you're going to get, set a goal for how much money you're going to give. Well, I'm in student loan debt. I say that because that you know now. That's where I'm at. I can't afford to give. I'll give some other time in the future. I'll give less now, and eventually I'll be able to give a lot more. Oh, well, that person really needs help. Well, there's others who can really help them. I can't do that right now. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I'm too young. I'm too old. And I heard somebody recently, we were in a conversation about children and making a difference in their life. And we talked about the importance of when a child walks up and starts tugging on your pants leg while you're talking to somebody else. It was in the context of church. So here, you can practice this one this morning. Child comes up tugging on your pants leg, wants to tell you something, but you're in a conversation with brother or sister so-and-so. And this is an adult conversation. This is important. We talked about the importance of just stopping letting them interrupt and getting down on their level and looking them in the eyes and give them the 30 seconds. They probably only want 30 seconds, if that. Hey, look how cool this is. You know, I love wit. You know, you give out all those balloons. I can tell you how many times I've gotten to look at some really cool balloons, right? The kids love to show me. And so I've made it a point to where I'm going to try, and hold me accountable, by the way, because this is really personal, huh? Because this is probably going to happen this morning. Help me. And you do the same. Stop and give them 30 seconds and let them show you. You're speaking life into those kids. You're making a difference in those kids. That's significant living, and it took you 30 seconds to do it. But we had a particular person in the midst of the conversation who was talking and said, well, I'm too old to get down like this. And I know it's probably meant in humor. And I know some of you, I know that some can't get down, but the concept you can do, no matter how old or how young you are, to stop and to take a moment to invest in a kid's life. And most of you, you probably can get down. It might take you a little longer than 30 seconds to get back up. I get it. You're thinking, it's easy for you to say at 28. I know. I'll probably regret this sermon, you know, someday later. But I think you get my point, don't you? The idea that we had an excuse in that moment, whether it's too old or too young, or I just don't have the time, or this is too important of a conversation to invest for 30 seconds that might make a difference in the life of that kid. It's better to give than to receive. God loves a cheerful giver. Give of your time. Give of your energy. Give of your money. Give of all that you have. And it'll make a difference. Let's go to our third point. You want to live a life of few regrets? Number one, decide the person that you want to be. You got to think of it and do something today to make a difference. Number two, focus on what you give rather than what you receive. But number three, look for the eternal significance in all the things that you do. Because if it's just a balloon, and if it's just a snotty-nosed kid coming up and taking a few seconds to tug on your pants leg, it's no big deal if you just say, stop it, we're doing something more important, right? But if you see that this is an eternal child of God who needs to learn to love and enjoy church. Church is supposed to be fun, right? Church is supposed to be exciting. But it's not very exciting when all the adults are just telling all the kids, you know, don't run in the auditorium. No drinking on the new carpet. It's not very fun. But realize there's eternal significance in the small things, right? It's a pretty easy sermon, isn't it? But it helps you to refocus and to rethink. It's like the old story of the three brick workers that were all doing the same project, and they were asked what they were doing, and one says, well, I'm laying bricks. And the other guy says, well, I'm making $17.50 an hour. That's what I'm doing. And the third guy said, I'm building a cathedral for the glory of God. You know, I love that old story. You know, they were all doing the same job. They just all had three different perspectives about it. If you want a life of few regrets, change your perspective about the things that you do. And it will begin to make a huge difference for you. So, you're at your own funeral. Here we are. What are they going to say about you? What are your friends? What are your church members? What are your kids? What are people going to say about the kind of man or woman of God that you are? And if, like most of us, I know there's all going to be things that we don't like, if everyone was brutally honest about how he lived. But if you want to live a life with few regrets, then start by making a difference today. You know, a thought just hit my mind of whenever I was at on vacation in Florida, and there were these sand art sculptures that there was like a contest. You ever seen that before? It's incredible. And they literally build these beautiful sculptures out of sand. And I could not enjoy it because the only thing I was thinking of is come high tide, it's all gone. Or one kid that acted like I did when I was a kid, those things are done instantly, right? Like that was the first thing I wanted to do when a sandcastle was built is go destroy it, right? I mean, it's like they spent these hours and they were so meticulous. These things were beautiful and they were so beautiful. And we're taking pictures with them and buy them and all this kind of, I mean, I'll never forget it. It was wonderful. And what I know is that 2 or 3 days from now, these things are gone. And then when you think about those scriptures that talk about life, they say it's but a vapor. You're here one day and you're gone the next. And I want to make sure that I live a life in that short amount of time of some significance, don't you? I don't want it to be washed away at high tide, making no impact. I want something that's going to last. And Jesus says, living a life for me, living a life of faith, living a life where you stop and reflect with depth of insight and you focus on me, that's a life of significance. And so if you look at yourself this morning, and you might be like Paul as he looked in the mirror and he said, oh, what a wretched man that I am. He woke up at one point in his life. And by the way, he was an older man at this point, right? Like he was still, he wasn't just a boy, right? He was a young man. And he looks at himself and he says, I have wasted all of my days. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. And if you find yourself in your own funeral this morning, looking at your own life, and you don't like the things that would be said about you, you don't like the way that people would talk about you, you don't like how your own funeral would go, then like Alfred Nobel, you have a moment to read your own obituary this morning and to make a change today. And we can help you as a church. I'm not saying it's easy, but we're in this together, aren't we? And that's what makes this so powerful, is that it's not on you to change by yourself. We're all in it with you. All of us sinners gathered together to praise God, and His strength and His power can change you from the worst to the best, from the least to the greatest. So think about it. The lesson is yours. If you need to respond, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing.